As auto emission standards tighten around the world, auto manufacturers are ramping up research and development of hydrogen fuel cells. Last week, General Motors announced a new 7-year joint effort with Honda to develop such vehicles. It's the latest in a series of similar alliances involving manufacturers. Current State it has a guest joining us now to help us understand the technology involved. Scott Calabrese Barton is an associate professor of chemical engineering and material science at Michigan State University. We're also making an effort here to connect with Dan Flores of General Motors, who might be able to explain some of what's going on with GM. In the meantime, for now, we welcome Scott Calabrese Barton to Current State. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I mentioned earlier stricter auto emission standards in the introduction to this piece, and I wanted to ask Dan Flores this, but I think this is something you're on top of. Is this the primary push for the hydrogen fuel cell? It's primarily emissions in the environment?
Yeah, there's really two contexts that are going on here. Emissions in the environment are driving technologies that don't burn fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
And the fuel cells that are being designed for automotive applications use hydrogen, which doesn't have any carbon in it, so it doesn't have any CO2 emissions directly, at least. And it has relatively few other types of harmful emissions, no sulfur emissions, no nitrogen oxide emissions, has relatively little impact on ozone, for example. So yes, the environmental context is one, but there's also the context of sources of energy and maintaining sources of energy that are domestic, and lowering our reliance on petroleum is another context that's really driving this.
Okay, and I also referred to the fact that the emission standards worldwide are increasing. How noticeable a trend is that? Can you speak to that?
Well, that isn't my area. I think probably some of the environmental engineers might be able to answer that better than me.
Okay.
But I do know that that the demands on automakers are growing all the time, and that requires a little bit of creativity and really thinking outside the box in order to meet those demands. And I think fuel cells are a great example of thinking outside the box.
Let's dig a little bit deeper into the fuel cell technology here in layman's terms, if at all possible. Give us a very basic description of how a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle actually gets propel down the road.
Sure. Well, a fuel cell vehicle is really an evolution of the hybrid vehicles that we already see on the road.
Okay.
It starts with putting a battery pack in the vehicle that can sit either in parallel or between the engine and the wheels, and allow for things like regenerative braking, where when you apply the brakes, you're actually taking the kinetic energy from the vehicle's motion and turning that back into electrical energy. And there's a lot of other efficiencies that can come with that. And all we're talking about with a fuel cell vehicle is really keeping the same hybrid approach and replacing the internal combustion engine, which generally would burn gasoline, with a different system that can consume, instead of gasoline, a more environmentally friendly fuel like hydrogen.
You're saying I'm really curious about the first point you made. Are you saying that hydrogen fuel cell vehicles are going to be able to take energy from braking and actually reassign that energy?
Well, it will be a hybrid vehicle. It will have it'll either be a battery system, most likely, or a capacitor that will be able to act as a buffer between the fuel cell and the actual wheels, and allow energy to flow in both directions. So all the technology that's going into hybrid vehicles now will be applied to fuel cell vehicles as well.
Now, this is, from my understanding, this will still be an electric vehicle. It's just that all the electricity is generated by combining hydrogen and oxygen?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And where would the hydrogen come from?
That's an excellent question. So from an environmental standpoint, there's a lot of emissions that you'd like to avoid, but you'd also like to avoid carbon dioxide emissions in order to minimize the global warming effect. And hydrogen from the narrow perspective of the car itself can do that because when hydrogen is oxidized, it forms water. But you have to get the hydrogen from somewhere, and right now the lion's share of hydrogen comes from natural gas. And so you can convert methane to hydrogen. And if fuel cell vehicles hit the road, most of the hydrogen will come from natural gas. One of the enabling factors with fuel cells right now is the fact that the price of natural gas is dropped a lot because of new techniques for taking it out of the ground. So natural gas is relatively cheap. That enables relatively cheap hydrogen, and that could very well enable fuel cell vehicles to hit the road.
I'm curious, does this debate over hydraulic fracturing end up impacting your studies?
Absolutely.
Indirectly, I would think it would.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a common technique for removing natural gas from the ground, and that natural gas can be used to make hydrogen.
And is there liquefied hydrogen that people would put back into their hydrogen fuel cells then? Is this a liquefied thing?
Well, I think the common technology now is pressurized hydrogen. That's one of the big challenges for fuel cells is how to carry the hydrogen around. The nice thing about hydrogen is that it's very light. It's the lightest element, and it really has been a big enabler for things like the space shuttle, which runs almost entirely on hydrogen fuel. But when it comes to putting it in a car, that lightness is a disadvantage because it takes up a lot of space. So you have to pressurize it in order to and make the volume of the hydrogen gas much lower in order to fit it into a vehicle. So right now the tanks are high pressure tanks that have tens or hundreds of atmospheres worth of hydrogen in the tanks. Liquefaction is another alternative, but that tends to be heavier and more expensive and more complicated. So I think the standard approach now is pressurized tanks.
We're talking with Dr. Scott Calabrese Barton, who is an associate professor of chemical engineering and material science here at Michigan State University. We're talking about hydrogen fuel cells in the wake of another alliance to jointly study such vehicles that was announced last week between General Motors and Honda Motor. We seem to be dropping the term battery from the lexicon here and replacing it with fuel cell. Help us. Is there a critical difference to understand here between a fuel cell and a battery?
Yeah, a fuel cell is very similar to a battery in the sense that it has two electrodes. One has an oxidation reaction. In the case of fuel cells, it's oxidizing hydrogen, and the other one has a reduction reaction. In the case of fuel cells, we're reducing oxygen. The difference is that a fuel cell has a fuel tank, and all the energy for those two reactions come from a separate fuel tank. In a battery, all of the energy is contained within the battery itself. And if you want to have a battery that has more energy, if you want to double the energy of the battery, you double the size of the battery. With a fuel cell, instead of doubling the size of the fuel cell, you double the size of the tank. And so that's the big difference. And so fuel cells end up being much more efficient in terms of energy per unit mass and per unit volume when you get up to the scale of things like laptops and automobiles. It becomes a liability when you get down to the scale of things like cell phones, where you can see that batteries are still the dominant technology in those small electronic devices.
Okay. We're going to try to reconnect here briefly with Dan Flores of General Motors. Dan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. And Dan can hear us. Okay, I'll tell you, Dan. On our end, you sound very, very faint. We're gonna try to establish a better connection here with you, Scott. What is standing in the way of developing hydrogen fuel cell batteries? What are the key challenges here?
Well, at the beginning of the Obama administration, Stephen Chu, who was then the Energy Secretary, specified four what he called miracles that had to be overcome to make fuel cells possible, and two of those four miracles that really have been overcome. One was the source of the hydrogen, and we talked about natural gas as being a source. That's a fairly recent development. The second miracle that's been more or less overcome is the storage issue, which we just talked about. Now the two major issues are distribution of hydrogen, essentially establishing an infrastructure of hydrogen stations where you can refuel the vehicle. And then the other big issue is the cost of the technology itself and making it cost competitive with internal combustion and now, you know, other battery-powered vehicles. So the real challenges are big ones. Infrastructure that requires a lot of cooperation and cost, which requires a lot of intellectual input. And I think those two, you know, big challenges are really driving this sort of cooperative trend that we've been seeing lately.
I understand platinum is required for hydrogen fuel cells, and that's an awfully precious metal.
That's right. That really goes to the cost issue. It's a precious metal, and that means that there's no economy of scale. If we start putting fuel cells in half the vehicles on the road, then the cost of platinum will go through the roof. We've already seen that a couple of times when there's been ramps up in the price of platinum because fuel cell technology threatened to become, you know, a little bit more mainstream. And so that's a real challenge. And there's been a lot of work to minimize the amount of platinum that that goes into a fuel cell. I think once we get to the level of the amount of platinum that is put into a catalytic converter, which is for a typical car about a gram of platinum or so, then we'll be at the stage where the platinum issue will be no longer really driving things. But right now we're using about, I'd say, 10 grams of platinum per fuel cell, maybe 10 to 20, and that really is a big center of cost. It's not the only center of cost for fuel cells. There's lots of other materials that are quite expensive, and assembling the fuel cell can be expensive. But platinum is really about 30% of the cost of the fuel cell stack at this point.
That's quite a bit. There's one other point of fact that I wanted to get out here. In spite of the challenges that you've just enumerated here in making hydrogen fuel cells a reality, there are still two automakers who have apparently successfully are already making these cars. Honda is one of them, the Honda FCX Clarity, and Mercedes makes one as well, the Mercedes F cell. So somehow they have managed to overcome these things. That point may be outside your wheelhouse, but there are apparently manufacturers that are getting this done.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, that's not to say that they're actually making money by putting these on the road, because there's a certain benefit to being first to market. And I think they're really taking advantage of that. And a lot of automakers are very, very close to putting their own vehicles on the road. Toyota's promised to put one on the road by 2015. And, you know, General Motors and Honda, as we've talked about it, have talked about selling these things by 2020. So
yeah.
So there's a lot of there is a lot of promise there. But I think the first thing that's going to happen is that the automakers will sell cars or lease cars at a loss. It's not going to be a profitable thing to do right away. And that's similar to what happened with hybrid vehicles, where Toyota and Ford had put vehicles on the road and really didn't necessarily make money on
it. And 100 other products,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
We've been talking about hydrogen fuel cells with Dr. Scott Calabrese-Barton. He's an associate professor of chemical engineering and material science here at MSU. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.